T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome on into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We are going around the NFC South this hour. Steve Geller along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and of course Charlie Long running master control and keeping us all in line. First up to bat are the NFC South champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com, Roy Cummings. Roy, always appreciate the time. How you been?
I've been good, guys. How are you?
Getting ready for tomorrow night, obviously, looking at what the Bucs have on tap. I know 26th overall in the round one of this draft. What are the expectations that you have for this team in round one? Have you heard any buzz, too, about if they plan on making any move up or down the draft board?
Yeah, look, Jason Light is, you know, he's always ready to make a move one way or the other. And I think this is a draft that makes a lot of sense for him to go one way or the other. It depends on how their board falls. Because, look, you've got all these quarterbacks that the Bucs don't necessarily need and a couple of wide receivers that they probably aren't looking at. Everything kind of falls down a little bit. So that for them, I mean, you know, a 14th overall pick is almost like a 6th overall pick. So their board is going to look a little bit different. And I think that really benefits them in a lot of ways. And it benefits them in ways that they could move up for somebody, maybe like if they think they need to move up to get somebody like a Tyler Guyton, or maybe just stay where they are and take a defensive end like Chop Robinson, which seems to be the consensus. Or you could even move down and still get, you know, somebody like Barton, an offensive lineman who can, who's got a lot of versatility. They could use a center or someone who could at least play guard in the NFL. So I think there's a lot of possibilities with Tampa Bay. They're not really married to any one position or any one need at this point. I think they could be really quite a wild card in this race, because there's probably somebody that they really like a lot, and depending on how everything falls, they may make a move up to get him or just stay where they're at or move down and hope that he falls to them in that spot.
Not in bad position. This is Mike Haas. And when you look at, you know, really four picks in the top, you know, 100 for the Bucs. Give me your thoughts because of what they had to do in free agency and certainly cap issues, and we're well aware of that. But they were able to kind of maintain the nucleus. Maybe with, you know, wasn't so much of who they signed, but was who they didn't lose.
Yeah, you're right. They did a real good job of making sure they kept kind of the core together. Obviously, bringing back Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, bringing back, making sure they got Antoine Winfield back in the fold. That's really important for them. Lavonte David's back for another year. So again, you know, the way that plays out come draft day tomorrow and over the course of the weekend is, you know, they don't really have to go reach for anything. They can let this draft kind of come to them a little bit, which I think is a strong position to be in. And with four of the top 100 picks, well, you know what? They can fill a lot of spots. Look, there's need on the offensive line, no doubt. There's probably a need at running back, maybe even need a tight end a little bit. So those are spots I think you might want to target. You always want to get a defensive back if you're a defensive-oriented team. So, you know, that makes sense too. So they could do a lot of different things, but I think they'll focus on the line and probably more than anything, the offensive line. May not be their first pick because they could, you know, certainly there's going to be some defensive linemen available to them with that first pick. But I think beyond that, I think they're probably looking at finding a guard or maybe two, maybe a center. This is a pretty good center draft. So they could easily spend that first pick on a center too. And then, find the other pieces later on. They've got, the wherewithal to do it. And they can always make some other things happen for themselves.
Roy, for you at all, were you surprised by the team not re-signing a guy like Devin White with the developments with the youth at linebacker? It was kind of the writing on the wall?
Well, I think just the way Devin White, you know, played out the whole last year. You know, he was a bit of a malcontent at one point. Then when he got back, he didn't play at a high level. He got outplayed by somebody who makes a lot less money than he does or will make it a lot less money going forward. You know, sometimes a team will just tolerate you as long as they have to, and maybe that's what happened with Devin White. So we'll see. I mean, that's another spot that they could fill. I don't think they really feel a great need to fill at linebacker, but you're losing the talent there. There's no doubt about that if he doesn't come back. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but there's still time. He could still be back in the fold at some point, but, you know, like at the end of the day, you got to play at a high level to keep your job in this league, or somebody will come around and take your spot, and that's what happened in Tampa with Devin White.
Roy, you kind of talked a little bit about it with the needs for this roster. You talked about defensive line and even offensive line interior. But looking at, obviously, Carlton Davis getting traded off to the Detroit Lions, I think that cornerback is kind of a sneaky need for that first-round pick, depending on how the board falls. And it feels like Todd Bowles is someone that maybe could just fall in love with a certain prospect and be like, I want this guy at pick 26. Have you seen any kind of buzz about that? And are there any players at cornerback that you think could fit them at pick 26?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that, you see a lot of the mock drafts, and a lot of people think that, you know, Cooper DeJean is the guy that would fit here. That makes a lot of sense. Kool-Aid would work for them, possibly. It's possible, but you know what? Knowing Jason Light, I don't think he would push for that pick there. I think he feels that there's more value at that position later in the draft. Maybe second round, but more than likely third round. I think the Bucks under Jason Light almost look at cornerbacks and safeties the way you do running backs. It's like the value's in the third and fourth round with those guys, and I think that's probably where they would pick it. But look, if there's somebody that they think is a game breaker, that they think can absolutely make them so much better than anybody else at another position, you know, they could definitely go for that. And it's quite possible that they will. But to be honest, I still think the edge rusher is probably their best bet at 26 if they're still there. And if it's not that, I would say do what you can to protect the offensive or protect your quarterback and get your offensive line beefed up a little bit, because they need to be able to run the ball. They want to be balanced, and the way to do that is to get tougher up front. And there's options there. So, again, where they are at 26, everything they really need and want is right there within, six or eight picks of that 26 spot. So they could easily stay right there and just take the best player, or, you know, take one of those other three picks that's in the top 100 and try to package that to get maybe a second player in the first round. Wouldn't surprise me if they did that either.
Roy, with edge rusher, you're looking at the top guys, Dallas Turner, Leatu Latu, and Jared Verse, all these guys that I think are going to probably be gone by pick 26. But someone that could be there, you mentioned his name a little bit earlier, Penn State's Chop Robinson. What's kind of the general consensus that you've heard from maybe fans about that guy? I know he's been mocked a couple times late in the first round, maybe to Tampa Bay, maybe to like Baltimore, as a super athletic edge rusher, but he didn't have much production in college. So what are your thoughts on him and, you know, how the fan base would react to a pick like that?
I think the fan base would like it because, look, he's an athletic player, and that's really what you want at that position. You know, it's not always about production. It's just, if you look at the tape and you see where he can get through the line, he's going to have to develop a little bit, no doubt about it. He's going to have to put on some weight, add a little bit more power, but he's got the speed and he's got the athleticism. And usually those are the things, you know, you can't teach. So if you've got that, you can be a player here. So, and you look at the last few edge rushers that the Bucks have picked, that's kind of what they've gone for, is guys who just have really good athleticism and the ability to build off that athleticism and create pressure. And you know what? If that works out for you, it could be a real good steal for them. So we'll see how it goes. But I think Chop Robinson's definitely on the board for them. I think he's a guy. Look, to me, it's between him and Jared Verse. If those two guys are there, then they've got a decision to make. If they're both gone, I think they go offensive line. But if one of those guys is there, I think they take that player.
If you want to keep up with the Saints' opponent, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, make sure you go to pewterpirates.com. Roy Cummings, definitely appreciate the time, man, and have a great draft.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it yourselves. Take
Thanks,
care
Roy.
Now.
Going to take a break. Be right back when we get into the Sports Talk fold again. We'll be going into Atlanta Falcons country. AJC Falcons beat writer D. Orlando Ledbetter will join us right here on WWL Sports Talk after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, rocking and rolling around the NFC South. Time to dip into the Atlanta Falcons side of things. Welcome in D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution Falcons beat writer. How you been, D.?
Hey, been doing pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always appreciate your time, man. How's life been now in Kirk Cousins land?
Oh, they're all ready to go. They're giddy like he doesn't have an injured Achilles and ready to go play ball.
And they find out, you know, nothing's really going to happen for this draft from any of the tampering stuff, so they don't have to worry about that because it's a pretty solid, you know, draft for 2024, pick 8, 43, 74, 79. So it doesn't appear any of the tampering situation will take place until 2025, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, if they get found for tampering, it's being reviewed, you know, along with the Eagles signing of Saquon Barkley. Looks pretty obvious that they did commit some violations. It was just a matter of if the league's going to bring the hammer down on them real hard here.
So, D, let's jump into the draft. At number 8 overall, like as Hoss kind of mentioned, there are 4 top 79 picks, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But at number 8, like, that is such a premier draft spot. What are you kind of hearing about the Falcons with the 8th overall pick? I've heard a little bit of buzz, obviously. A lot of folks expect them to take that first defensive player off the board at that spot. But I've heard maybe a little bit of buzz of offensive weapon again. Roma Dunze could be pretty hard to pass up. What have you kind of heard about it?
Yeah, that's it. They got 4 star defensive options at 8 if it falls the way most people believe. You know, Dallas Turner, Lata out of UCLA, Jared Verse out of Florida State, and the Brian Murphy kid out of Texas. So if you believe that one of those guys has got a chance to put on a yellow jacket, then you take them. Romain Odunze, you already have him on your team. He's called Drake London, the
right,
big wide receiver. Odunze is quicker, a little bit more athletic, but he's the same guy, basically. And then you got Brock Bowers up there, too, tight end from Georgia, but you already got Kyle Pitt. So yeah, if you think one of those 4 guys are a stud, if any of those 6 are Hall of Famers, then you take them, or you consider trading back and still getting probably one of those guys if somebody wants to come up and get one of those quarterbacks early.
Well, I think that's a great point, D. It's a kind of sneaky trade-down spot. Like, everyone keeps talking about, oh, the Vikings are going to trade up into the top 5 to get their quarterback of the future. But if you're looking at the top 10 picks and you're Atlanta and you really, really like this defensive player, but you think he may be there a little bit later on, you know, a couple teams may be trying to jump the Chicago Bears or maybe even the New York Jets for one of those weapons, like you mentioned, Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers, and Atlanta could be in a pretty solid trade-down spot.
Yeah, no doubt. And they bought, you know, told us yesterday that they've had their preliminary talks with several teams. And he said if, you know, they get a call when they're on the clock, then things will get serious real quick. And teams will have to decide, you know, just how much value they want to throw the Falcons' way to come up and get that spot. So they know where they are. And you know, you don't want to be right there at the drink, right there at the break point of great players and just going back for quality instead of quantity.
Curious your opinion here, D. Is a guy like Terry Fontenot, is this a I know every year is an important draft, but is this like a do or die, make or break draft for him, or is he in pretty solid footing in Atlanta?
He came out of the mess in pretty solid footing as the, you know, unquestioned GM who would have to work with the new head coach. He's in charge here, this show, as far as the personnel situation is concerned. They do take the input from their coaches. But, yeah, it's on him to finish putting this team together. They cleared out the room for him to go back to a more traditional general manager head coach setup. That's how they got in trouble with Dan Quinn having the power to pick the roster. And he doesn't know – He's not a scout, and he hadn't been scouting all season. He's been trying to coach. So Terry and the scouts are in charge, and they present the options to the coaches, and the coaches tell them what they want. But he certainly came out of everything here with a little bit more power in the organization.
And certainly I would assume the fan base, just because of where Atlanta has drafted, if you look – at the last 2 years, 8-38, 8-38. I'm talking about the picks, and they had picked 4-40 before that. So in their last five drafts, they've gone 8-8, 4-16, and 14. So they've been in good positions to build what they want to build. And I would imagine a fan base now says, let me see something, right? You know, it's time.
Yeah, but you know the two drafts weren't there, so they in fact they got rid of all those players except for Chris Lindstrom and AJ Terrell, so they gutted that draft, and then they didn't hit Terry and them didn't hit home runs right away. Penny Soule got a new contract today. They could have had him instead of Kyle Pitts. They could have had Garrett Wilson instead of Drake London. So you know. Their second pick, Richie Grant, in the first year, he hadn't been pretty good. The third round pick was on a new team already, Jalen Mayfield. They haven't hit in all of their. He got a hit in the first three rounds, so they need to do a little bit better job building a team out because it's not like they built the juggernaut and they just needed the quarterback. They still got a lot of work to do.
D, I know you also mentioned Brock Bowers a little bit earlier. What's the deal with Kyle Pitts right now? This team obviously invested a lot of draft capital into him. They're hoping that a new offense helps ignite him in the NFL?
Yeah, no doubt about it. A quarterback that could throw it to him.
that helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you read between the lines, and he didn't do a really good job of coming back from the knee surgery. Last year, so you know, folks want to see how hard he's going at it, and you know how fast he'll learn the offense, and then what Zach Robinson and them could do to get him open and get him the ball with the quarterback. He did pretty good when he had a quarterback that could throw it to him, Matt Ryan, his rookie year, and since then it hasn't been very productive for the number 4 overall pick, the highest tight end ever drafted in the National Football League.
D, looking at pick 43, it's two picks ahead of the Saints at pick 45. I think that's also a premier draft spot. You talked about defense in the first round, and obviously the Falcons will have their share of defensive players to take with the 8th overall pick. If you go best defensive player available, do you double down at pick 43? What are your kind of thoughts on that part of the draft? Because I know, Mike Dettillier and I talk about it all the time. That's where a lot of receivers are going to fall into the second round. Offensive line is still going to be there. Defensive backs, there's going to be a lot of options at pick 43 for the Falcons.
Yeah, no doubt. Tackles one. McGarry's been a serviceable pro, nothing special against the pass rush. Jake Matthews is heading into his 11th year. You could think tackle is supposed to be a deep tackle draft, deep cornerback. The cornerback should be available too, just because they, everybody ran so slow, they're getting pushed down a little bit. So Kool-Aid could, if he pops up there, maybe you take McKinstry. Wiggins, I don't know if he's last that late, but then you got kids like the Cooper Dejean kid that people are jumping over folks, and the kid from Georgia, Kamari Lassiter. So you can go line, you can go cornerback, you can go tackle there, and if you just got your heart set on Spencer Rattler, you probably have to take him there because he probably won't be there when you come back up in the third.
D, always great stuff from you. Appreciate the time and hope you have a great draft.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, D.
That's D. Orlando Ledbetter there, Atlanta Journal-Constitution Falcons beat writer. Always great stuff from him. Those Dirty Birds, man. Yeah, I'm kind of envious of their draft position, obviously, at number 8, seeing what they end up doing there. Hopefully, they don't make a move up. I know there was rumors earlier about going out and trying to get a guy like a Jaden Daniels, but I just don't see that happening when you've invested in Kirk Cousins now.
$160 million contract for Kirk Cousins. I don't think they're taking a quarterback up there.
Gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Then we'll get into Carolina Panthers. Host Desmond Jackson of the Believe in Panthers podcast will join us right after this here on WWL. All right, folks, who's ready to party? Now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest. Today's password is Zydeco, Z-Y-D-E-C-O, Zydeco. Now just go to WWL.com/contest. Enter the word Zydeco and you can register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance for Jazz Fest tickets plus round trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. WWL is giving a pair every day this week. They're giving them away. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, Newell, Scooter, Sports Talk for Jazz Fest Password of the Day to see amazing artists like Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen, Latifah, Greta Van Fleet, and more. Good luck, happy fest, and from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We've been going around the NFC South. Just heard from D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And yeah, just curious to see what this Falcons team ends up doing with that 8th overall selection. Was asking him about GM Terry Fontenot over there, who, you know, has had pretty high draft picks over these past few years. And just the Falcons, for whatever reason, have not been able to rise up, as they always say, and get into contention to be a playoff contender.
Right. And he was right. He's, you know, I look at the last kind of 5 years, right? And so, because to me, in some capacity, 2019 and 2020 still seems relevant to me.
Yeah. But
if you look at the NFC South across the board, there are, each team has two or three players left from the 2019-2020 draft across the board. So that's kind of typical. And in fact, Carolina is similar. So in the last 5 years, they've picked 1st, 6th, 8th, 7th, and 16th. Mm. And the 16th pick in 2019, Brian Burns. They just traded him away to the Giants. So, you know, they don't have a first-round pick this year. That didn't mean they can't be a player because they got two twos, 33 and 39.
Right.
So first pick in the second, and then 39, a third at 65, and a fourth at 101. So basically still four picks in the top 100, and you don't, you know, you got your quarterback, and they were really strong in free agency about offensive line, trying to protect Bryce Young, and, I mean, like three or four, five players deep, offensive linemen, Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, just to get, knowing they couldn't get maybe what they wanted,
right,
you know, in the draft, they had to do it through free agency.
No, you mentioned there, obviously, Bryce Young is their guy, and they gave up a lot to, you know, to move up to get him, and we'll see how that ends up panning out for the future. But yeah, it's going to be rough. No first round draft pick, but with two second rounders, man, who knows?
You
could end up packaging something to move back into round one if there was something that they were so attracted to.
And they kind of, like we were teasing, but they kind of need a significant amount of help, right, in different places. So there's the, it's a wide open, you know, canvas for them to kind of to do what they want to do. But I mean, you look at one, two, I mean, it's probably 13 players that I'm looking at, and I'm not talking about re-signing their own players. That's 13 to 14 free agents they brought in this off season. So, I mean, that was kind of the route they wanted to go, get some guys with some veteran talent to come in to help out this football team.
To help us continue to break down Carolina, Desmond Johnson, host of the Believe in Panthers podcast. How you been, Des?
I'm good, man. How are y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Happy Eve.
Yes, indeed. What's your plans for tomorrow? I know right now no Panthers first round pick, so you just kind of biding your time waiting to see what happens?
Yeah, I think I'll keep an eye on it for the first, or like the top 10 at least, because
right.
I do expect some kind of movement to happen there, especially with rumors that there might be some teams moving up into the top 10 to grab one of these elite wide receivers. I think we had kind of pegged Marvin Harrison Jr. going to Arizona for like the past 2 months, but now I'm starting to hear maybe a Buffalo or Kansas City might try to leapfrog them and move to number three where the Patriots are, who might be willing to give up that pick because they're not really enamored with any of these quarterbacks, to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So if you can imagine Patrick Mahomes throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr. for the next 8 years, that's a scary thought. But that's the stuff swirling around on draft eve.
Sure, as they say, the rich get richer in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I don't know if they would have the collateral to make it happen, but it's Kansas City. I wouldn't put anything past them, but that's kind of the thing going on right now with all these wide receivers. It seems like there's two separate tiers of wide receiver talent, and in that first group, there's three guys, Neighbors, Harrison, and the kid from Oregon. So, I don't know. We'll see. I might check around for that. I think the Lakers are playing them all night, too, so I'll be skipping back and forth between everything as it's all going on.
And looking at this team and kind of what they are looking for, if you had to kind of say, you know, from a needs standpoint, not a want standpoint, but from a needs standpoint, because 33, 39, 65, you know, in rounds two and three, what would be the Panthers' top needs?
Going into the draft, well, first of all, shout out to new general manager Dan Morgan, former Carolina Panther, who did, I think, a fantastic job in free agency. We've been basically calling it football Moneyball. If you've ever watched the movie Moneyball,
yeah,
Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, that's kind of what we did. You know, instead of paying Brian Burns $30 million, they turned that into A'shaun Robinson and Jadeveon Clowney and Josie Jewell for $30 million. Like, you know, that's what you want. Like, they've kind of done that and got three starters out of it. And Morgan's done a good job identifying players that he wanted to be quote-unquote dogs. I love the fact that free agency comes before the draft now, because now these teams can actually address needs and not have to reach. So now Carolina doesn't really have to necessarily reach in the draft, but what's going to end up happening, Carolina is going to be the most important player after night one's over with. As soon as night one's over with, there's going to be, every year there's always one or two guys that fall out of the first round that probably shouldn't have. Dan Morgan's phone's going to be blowing up as soon as the draft is over night one, all the way up until 8 o'clock on night two on Friday. Because at that point, they'll basically control the board. So answering your question, though, I think wide receiver is probably still what they're looking for. The issue is, like I said before, there's like three guys in that tier one, and then you have another tier right below them that's like 8-9 guys. So they may not necessarily need to pick a wide receiver at 33. They may be able to get Xavier Leggett from South Carolina at 39 and trade 33 down to get more picks. The other need I think they need that we're not really talking about a lot because the position's been devalued is running back. They've done a lot with the offensive line, the interior in particular, to strengthen it, fortify it, and make it a strength and to be able to protect the investment in Bryce Young. But they really only have Chuba Hubbard as their lead running back, and it feels like Dave Canales wants to run the football. So I would not be surprised if the Panthers take a leap of faith and draft the first running back off the board. Because I've seen mock drafts where there's not a running back taken in the first two rounds. I could see Carolina maybe using an extra pick in the second or third and picking up a Trey Benson from Florida State or, you know, someone that – a Blake Corum from Michigan or whatever. But they're going to need another guy beside Chuba, because I don't think Chuba is a 30-carry-a-game running back.
Des, you mentioned there the new head coach, Dave Canales. Just curious your thoughts on him and basically his philosophy now going into his first year in Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. This guy here is infectious. Like, his personality, he is so upbeat and just – he just enjoys life. Like, I joke with friends all the time that Dave Canales is one of those types of people that lives without an alarm clock. That he just doesn't need an alarm clock to get up in the morning. He's so ready to start his day that he just naturally gets up at 5:45 in the morning and goes and does whatever he's going to do without a clock needing to be there. He's very open. It's kind of cool. He's really young. He's maybe one of the youngest coaches in the league. I think he's in his early 40s, 42, 43. But I thought it was maybe fake in the beginning. But now, after seeing him multiple times and hearing him talk, this dude's genuine. This is him. This is what he is. And plus the thing, too, that kind of sold me on him, it's not what he says. It's what people say about him. The people that have worked with him, the players that have coached or been coached by him in the different stops he's been, it's been nothing but positive reviews for Dave Canales. So I'm really excited about what he's going to do with the culture here in Carolina.
I don't know. He's in his 40s, and he doesn't need an alarm clock. I don't like him. He is not my guy.
I wish you could bottle it up.
I need caffeine, injections, and 7 alarm clocks.
I think that's a good point.
He's walking caffeine. That's literally what he is. He's just caffeine in human form.
Desmond, I think it was a really good point that you brought up about potentially trading back from 33 to get more talent. I mean, you're looking at 33 and 39. Those are two still premier picks. They're not first-rounders, but they're effectively, you know, late first-rounders at 33 and then 39 as well from the Giants.
Right.
I mean, are you expecting this team to trade back from 33, or do you think that they're going to use both of those picks at 33 and 39?
It depends on what happens in the first. If there's somebody that falls that they had on their board high, because I do think they can go best player available in the position they're in. But if somebody comes along to them, say one of these quarterbacks falls or one of these wide receivers falls, and it only takes one team to fall in love with a player for them to move up to the top of the second. If I'm Carolina, I don't want to – if I'm trading 33, I don't want to pick lower than 39. Like if I am going to trade it, I still want it to be above my 39th pick. Because in my head I'm thinking, well, we have two of the top 40 picks. That's how I've kind of – put some sunshine on the situation with Carolina. They've got two of the top 40. If they had to trade, I do not believe they will trade up. That's one thing I will rule out. They don't really need to do that at this point. That would be for a reach. But I could see them trading 33 down for another second and maybe a third because they do have some holes still in the secondary that they need to fill. J.C. Horn will probably be the starter on one side at cornerback, but he – has not made it through a full season, I don't believe, yet in his career. And we don't know who's going to be on the other side. We've got holes at linebacker. Shaq Thompson's coming back from a year-long injury. So they still have some holes. They're just not as big as they were before free agency. So could they trade it? Absolutely. Dan Morgan put that on the table that everything's out there. Will they? I don't think they will. I think that the guy that they want is going to be sitting there at 33, and they're going to end up taking him.
Des, always great information from you. Appreciate it, and hope you have a great draft.
Hey, guys, enjoy it. We hope everybody gets what they want, and let's go NFC South, I guess, right?
Yes, indeed. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, how's it going?
Desmond Johnson, host of the Believe in Panthers podcast. If you want your Carolina information, be sure to check it out right there. Going to take a break, step away, and be right back with more sports talk, closing it out after this. Happy NFL Draft Eve, who dats. Just one more day in the Saints and the NFL Draft will be right here where we do it bigger and better than anyone on WWL. Starts tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Join Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss for the Saints Draft Preview Show. You're going to hear from head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, and all the Saints top brass. It is appointment listening radio for any Saints fan. And we got some exciting locations this year. We are back on location, folks. Brought to you by TrainSouth.com. WWL Draft Fest tomorrow will be live from Las Cruces Tex-Mex Yum Yum in Metairie. Friday will be at Hooters of Metairie on Vets. And then Saturday, you can meet up with Team WWL at LaRouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Deuce McAllister, NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier, Mike Haas, and myself, along with Jeff Nowak reporting from Saints headquarters. And we got Charlie Long in studio feeding the newsroom. Wall-to-wall draft coverage starts tomorrow, 4 o'clock on WWL Saints Radio and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Gentlemen, we've been talking about the draft nonstop for a long time now. Happy that it's finally here. But boy, oh boy, it is an intense 3 days of action.
Yeah, it's exciting, right? I mean, because you just don't know. There's so many, as Mike Dettillier said, he expects 10-plus trades in the first round.
That's wild,
now,
right?
Now, we had 9 2 years ago, so it's not unprecedented. 6 last year, but man, when it happens, it grows. Every team gets a little more panicked. And then they trade. And then another team trades.
Right. And the great thing, too, I love hearing from the players after they get drafted. I know it's a lifelong dream for tons of these guys. And when people's, you know, dreams become a reality, it's always a great situation. I want to thank Saints, thank everyone for listening. Make sure you stay tuned for tomorrow's show. That's going to be, like I said, 4 o'clock, the draft preview. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. Don't want to miss that right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Hope you have a great night, everybody. And who dat and... Go Pelicans!
That's right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.